You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening. Welcome to Conscious Living Radio. I'm Tasha Sims, and yeah, we're getting jiggy with it. That was so old school, I had to throw it in there. Hey, now we've got more music coming up. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we're talking about joy, cultivating joy. We've got two lovely women here. I'll introduce in just a moment. They're doing a workshop about cultivating joy, and it's the whole show tonight. We're going to talk about just how you do that and what that means. Melissa Berry Appleton. Melissa's currently enrolled in Buddhist chaplaincy training at Upela Zen Center under Roshi Joan Halifax. She's also studying and practicing with Norman Fisher of Everyday Zen. Melissa holds a Bachelor of Music Therapy and a postgraduate diploma in Human Resources. Her experience spans work within geriatric, cognitive impairments, palliative care, addiction counseling, and raising three kids. And also Jen Newman joins us. She's a lifestyle entrepreneur who's passionate about inspiring more health, freedom, and happiness in the world. She shares from her personal experience of resilience as an Olympic hopeful and her interest in positive psychology and the science of happiness. She's got a Bachelor of Arts degree in medical anthropology and holds a diploma as a registered massage therapist. She's practiced sports injury rehabilitation for 13 years, has been teaching yoga for over 10, and offers experiential lifestyle coaching through the practice of yoga and meditation, and nutritional support through superfood and intermittent fasting practices. Phew! Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, happiness, joy, what's the difference? What is the difference? Is there one between happiness and joy?
Yeah, absolutely. Happiness is really a kind of external experience. So particularly in our world today, things are moving really quickly. And happiness is a kind of external reaching for comfort and satisfaction and happiness from moment to moment.
So you're trying to get, basically manipulate the world to bring you things you think you like and want to
yeah.
be happy. Is that it? So it sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it doesn't last that long.
Right. Yeah, because you're constantly striving or trying, and if you get it, great, and if you don't get it, not so great. So you'd be the victim of circumstance, basically. It's like
yes.
a setup to be hostage to whatever happens outside of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah? And joy?
So joy is the internal. So it's that constant state that we're able to hold on to. So it comes from inside of ourselves. So the problem with looking for happiness external to ourselves is it's fleeting. So if we're constantly striving, once we acquire it, it only lasts for a short period and then poof, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So the practice really is to find that internal state of joy so we can have that joy through everything and all experiences of our lives. So mm-hmm. it's more of a process of developing that within ourselves so that we can deal with our external environment.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to spend the second half of the show talking about the workshop that you've got coming up in Greece, which just looks so beautiful. But before that, maybe we can get a little personal. Has your ability to access joy been easy? What's your path been? Each of you can share your story and just why, how come you're working with joy? Why is that the calling for you?
Who
wants to start? Melissa, you're going for it.
Yeah, I think that my path really started when I was a teenager. And my teenage years were really difficult. And I got into a lot of trouble, but I always managed to scrape through, found myself in university, and at the age of 25, I decided that I was going to stop drinking, and that I had a lot of anxiety and stress in my life, and I was using alcohol as a kind of happiness kind of treatment. So at the age of 25, I had a moment. One might even call it a kind of spiritual experience in one moment in time where I let go of using that band-aid to find happiness. And that's really when my exploration began of what else is there out there? First of all, I was looking for happiness. And then through the process of so many practices, I found out that, oh, the practice is really an internal practice, and it's more about joy. And one of the first things that I did was practice yoga. And actually, that wasn't such a happy experience for me. I remember the first time I signed up for yoga, I signed up for 10 classes, and I had to force myself to complete 8 of them. And even the corpse pose or the shavasana pose at the end of the session was torturous for me. To lie on my back in stillness and to really move into an internal process was just really foreign to me and uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. And so it was the silence of it, stilling the mind. What part was the agony?
I think it was the stillness. It was the silence. It was lying supine on my back with the front of my body exposed and my palms turned open. And the fact that maybe I had been looking externally for so long, the internal was so foreign to me and so unknown.
And therefore scary.
And pretty darn scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We forget that, I think, those of us who've been doing this work for a while, that, or I certainly do, that at the very, very beginning, it can be scary. I'm not even sure I remember that because I had a wild youth as well. And so I went inside, you know, really quickly with the aid of certain medicines. So the fear was never about the inside so much as the more the world, I think. But this, I think what you're raising is a valid point for many people, that initially the idea of referencing from the inside out, you're afraid of what you're going to find out.
Right.
And who you are. Well, who are you, right?
Yeah, and just the discomfort in our bodies. So a lot of times we look into the external world to try and find comfort, or maybe also known as happiness, because we are so uncomfortable. And then even moving beyond things like final corpse pose and just getting into pure yoga asana, putting our bodies into different shapes and forms can be really uncomfortable again. And a lot of times, like, you won't hear this from yoga teachers, but I spent a good 10 years in yoga poses cursing inside, like swear words. It wasn't zen. It wasn't peaceful. I was swearing inside. Or there were certain poses where I think, oh, yeah, I have to go to the bathroom now. I'll be back in 5 minutes. You know? Because I couldn't stay there.
Yeah. And just before we move to you, Jen, the other thing I think with the beginning yoga is, if you enter into a studio or a practice, there are some that are very, my experience was shaming. So you then are being, comparing yourself, because there's a, the energy that I experienced was a kind of boot camp energy that was pushing me into places that my body didn't want to go. And basically as if I'm being lazy, that I can't, that I want to rest. Like that to me is the antithesis of what yoga is about. And yet there are that was my beginning, was not pleasant. It was like working out and very shame-based if you didn't keep up.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's what happens when I think yoga starts to go hand in hand with exercise.
Right. Yeah. I think so many people are actually coming to yoga studios maybe because they have some trauma in their background, or there's something calling them to slow down and move a little bit slower and more intentionally in their body. Working with trauma, as a teacher, knowing how to work with people and their sensitivities in their body, and that trauma does arise in practices. Yeah. Not for everybody, but it's just good for a teacher to know that that's possible.
Right. So, Jen, what's your story?
Again, mine starts as a teenager. I was a gymnast and being groomed for the Olympics, and I was striving for the Olympic dream. And I believe now, looking back, that I was hoping that all of my happiness would come when I became an Olympian. Mm-hmm. And I was making massive sacrifices in the present moment, striving for that goal. And when I missed that goal, nearly, it crushed me. And it crushed me for many years. And that's sort of what led me into the work of self-discovery and learning how to find more of the joy in the present moment rather than looking for the future and waiting to be happy when certain things happened in my life. And I stumbled onto yoga because I thought it would be nice cross-training. As an athlete, I thought, yeah, this would be great. I can do some stretching and a little core strengthening, but what I found was the spirituality and the awakening of really starting to look at myself and understand myself. And showing up on my yoga mat, I started noticing that comparing and competing side of myself. And I would show up on my yoga mat and have to be the best one in the room because I was a gymnast and a dancer. And I started to realize how much that I was beating myself up because I wasn't always the best. And what yoga has helped me grow into is just being happy with where I am and being joyful in the moment. It's taught me how to slow down, how to connect with my breath. And it's also brought me awareness of my thoughts and my thought patterns and the negative thought patterns that were conditioned in me growing up as a gymnast and as a dancer, and learning how to let those go. And because of that, and really recognizing my thought patterns and finding more positive ways of thinking, I've discovered more joy in the moment rather than looking for the happiness, again, outside myself. Like, I won't be happy until I'm an Olympian. I won't be happy until I finish mm-hmm. my degree. I won't be happy until I'm a successful businesswoman, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for both of you, yoga is really important. Meditation is important. And I want to touch on both those a little more in depth. But if someone's listening right now and they're thinking, okay, I want joy, I want to be happy or content with what's inside me, what would you advocate as a first step towards developing a practice? Whether it's yoga, finding the right place to go, the one that's right for you and your body, or beginning a meditation practice, what would be your kind of go-to advice?
I would say just start. If it is yoga that's calling to you, start somewhere. And I always say to people, there's so many different kinds of yoga, a lot of different styles, different teachers. So shop. Go shopping and find a style that resonates with you, find a teacher that resonates with you. Most likely in some yoga, you will be introduced to some meditation, some introductory meditation, which can be very small. It can start with a couple of minutes mm-hmm. of sitting still. And I think that's the best way, is just finding an outlet for you that feels good, or it stretches you, like Melissa's experience, you know, even though she stuck with it. And the same with me, it rubbed me the wrong way in the beginning, but over time I recognized that it was helping stretch me in the right direction. But I think the first step is just to start, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. to find something, find an outlet that you feel will take you on the journey in the direction you need to go.
Do you have anything to add, Melissa?
Yeah, I think that's great advice to start, and then keep going. So if one class doesn't work, if the fit isn't right, don't mm-hmm. stop, just mm-hmm. keep going.
Right. What do you think is the most important thing you both, again, individually can answer this, had to master in order to be comfortable cultivating joy? Is there some lesson, some piece for you that really made the shift? And so you have this, you talk about this recognition that, okay, it's an inside job. That's a huge awareness. But in your process of, because cultivating is an active process, what's the takeaway, the learning for you that keeps you committed to both offering that and, I assume, practicing that?
Anything that takes me outside of my body or makes me think about numbing or dropping out is something that I kind of step back from. Staying in relationship with myself, with my internal process, with the outer world, and in relationship with people keeps me close to the essence of what's really important in my heart.
And so is your meditation practice fully embodied? Or is it, because there is somewhere you're actually leaving your body.
Oh, I'm embodied.
You're embodied. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so meditation practice is certainly the practice that really shifted me personally. And the thing that it shifted was how I relate to people and how I stay in relationship with people, which is very much an embodied practice. And I'm interested in being in this body. I'm interested in being this world. I want healthy relationships. I have this dear friend, and she asked this great question, like, where do you want to move the needle in life? Like, how do you want to, what lever do you want to push and make a difference in this lifetime? And it's my hope that my meditation practice keeps me engaged with this world and highly impactful. And I'm human. I'm not interested in transcendence. I'm really here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, to me, it's the difference between, again, leaving the body to connect to a field or bringing that energy into your body so that your heart then relates to the world and you're in connection, which mm-hmm. is what you're describing. And I assume the workshop that you guys are going to teach will use this form of meditation, right?
Yeah.
We'll invite that
very
for people.
Much.
How about you, Jen?
Such a great question. So I think cultivating joy for me has been a journey in recognizing that being joyful doesn't mean I'm always happy. Mm. And knowing and having an awareness around those moments when I am unhappy and recognizing it's an emotion and allowing myself to move through it rather than staying stuck in it. And so for me, it's been a real awakening of recognizing when those negative thought patterns come up and how it affects me physically or emotionally and how it affects my actions and what it, you know, the choices that I make because of that, and then allowing to make better choices and learning practices that bring me back into states of joy so I can maintain a joyous state even though maybe the experience I'm in isn't positive, but mm-hmm. I can fall back on practices that keep me grounded, keep me stable, keep me joyful and healthy.
So what are they? Let's share some more of those. They sound like really great emotional habits and practices to have. So we've said meditation, yoga, what else?
Gratitude is a really, really great one. Gratitude journaling, having a regular gratitude practice, or sometimes even I'll just call up 3 to 5 things in my mind of that I'm grateful for in this moment. Or if I'm having a difficult relationship, to come up with things that I'm grateful for about that person in my life. Eating a good, balanced, healthy diet that's alkaline, low in toxins, that's nourishing. And that doesn't always mean eating healthy. Sometimes I have foods that I enjoy eating and I will eat them without the guilt. Right. It's having that healthy balance between both. Getting a lot of sleep. Sleep is so important. I've had to work on getting a healthy sleep pattern and sleep practices around helping myself fall asleep more easily, staying asleep so I can wake up feeling rested, recovered. Positive reading. Last thing I do before I go to bed is read something positive, so it's the last thing on my mind rather than being in my head in those negative thoughts, because as it gets quiet at night, that's when the voice gets loud. Mm-hmm. So I try to either read something like a positive excerpt from a great book or poetry. And the first thing I do every morning is my meditation practice. That's just a couple of things that I do.
Nice.
And exercise. And moving my body every day. Just to move. Be out in nature. Move my body. It doesn't have to be yoga being an athlete, I've learned now it's not, I don't have to go out and ride my road bike for 2 hours to feel good. Mm-hmm. It can be on my cruiser bike, riding down by the lake, and just being out in nature can be just as powerful.
And so what do you do in relationships when these patterns, these negative patterns might arise? Do you have some tips for our listeners around cultivating joy when you're in the middle of a mess or in the middle of a reaction or judgment, either feeling judged or judging?
So one of the neat things that happens in practicing yoga and meditation and moving through the practice particularly in meditation, staying perhaps on a cushion or on a chair in stillness, in silence, and tending to the breath, is all kinds of things come up in the mind, sensations come up in the body, and sometimes the first thing that we want to do is react by, say, moving or getting off of the cushion or following a storyline. And by just staying with the process and moving through it, sometimes a little bit of space happens. Mm-hmm. And then it's my hope that in these practices, they'll transfer off of the cushion or off of the yoga mat, so that when we're in relationship with people and some kind of friction arises, mm-hmm. that same kind of space, like we stay there and allow a little bit of space in between the people and allow each person to have their own individual experience, bear witness to it, be present to it, and just let it unfold without having a kind of electric kind of response.
It sounds like you're also growing your ability to tolerate an intense feeling in that moment.
Absolutely.
Without having to open your mouth or do anything, right?
Right. Yeah. And the interesting thing is that the first part of that experience is really intense. And then mm-hmm. when staying with it, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, it shifts and changes. Mm-hmm. It took me so long to realize this.
Right.
I'm like a late bloomer in life. And I really didn't get this until I was in my 40s, honestly, that, wow, things aren't fixed and permanent. These heavy emotional states are actually moving and shifting.
Mm-hmm. Mark, you want to jump in here? I know you love talking about relationship, especially reactivity. No, kidding.
I'm still on a track in my head about yoga. I just love what you said about yoga, and I think it's fantastic because everybody should really practice it, in the sense of, you know, what I learned when I started yoga was, it's a union of mind, body, spirit. And here in the West, it's very, like what you were talking about, in the sense of, it's very mechanical. It's very much a workout, and we got to strike that pose and do it right versus being in the flow and enjoying that process. So it's just something that I always think about when I think about yoga and just the importance of being in the body. But I love what you guys are doing. And my biggest thing is, like, joy and happiness, are these a choice? Are they a choice? When it comes down to the joy, to being joyful or being happy, is it a choice or is it something that just happens?
That's so hard. I feel it's really hard to give a black and white response to that, because every human being has such a different experience. And I'm also giving you an answer from a North American white female perspective. Mm-hmm. And I can only really give you an answer based on my own experience. I can say, like, personally, that as I get older, I'm experiencing more joy. And I have a pretty heavy negativity bias. I'm really fascinated about how the brain works and this concept of, like, neurons that fire together wire together, and how long it takes to imprint a positive train of thought as opposed to a negative train of thought. And I can see shifts in myself personally. I have three teenagers, and in some of the practices we do at home, I can see some shifts, and they report some shifts. I also work with teenagers doing alpine expeditions who report shifts. I don't know that what it's like for everybody else, but I think it's worthy of trying things. Mm-hmm. I think it's worthy to be hopeful.
I read a cool thing I just want to share with you, where people were talking, it was a conversation actually, and they were talking about gauging your level of mastery, and people kept referring to these mystical states. And one person who I really resonated with shifted it to this, and this is the part I want to share with you, that the gauge is more questions that are focused on character development and selfless action. So questions like, am I more loving? Is my judgment sounder? Do I have more energy? Can my mind remain calm under provocation? Am I free from the conditioning of anger, fear, greed? So I just wonder what you think about that, because that kind of touches on what you were saying in terms of creating that space before you react. And I think, you know, people get involved in these practices, and just because we're wired as human beings, we like to notice that we've progressed. We like that, right? Mm-hmm. So for you, these are these the kinds of questions that would be a better gauge than, you know, I've evolved and I'm in these trippy mystical states? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm not interested in alternate states. I did that in my teen years. one of the beautiful teachings that's really coming up through the chaplaincy training that I'm doing and from Roshi Joan Halifax is this idea of coming alongside another human being suffering. And I think if we're human being, we're going to experience some suffering. And I would like to be able to come alongside anybody at any given moment in time, in their suffering or in their joy, and just really bear witness without having to be a knower.
Right.
And just really take in their experience and have them feel like they're being wholeheartedly listened to.
Right. That kind of would, to do that, I think effectively, you'd almost have to dissolve polarity of good and bad, wouldn't you? In that moment, you'd just be receiving, whether it's joy or sadness. It wouldn't matter.
Good and bad and self and other.
Right, right.
Yeah. So just shy of a year ago, I lost one of my closest friends, passed away unexpectedly, and then very shortly after, my dad passed away. And of course, I had enormous sadness and grief. But I also had an enormous amount of joy at the exact same time. And it was quite astounding to me, and I didn't know that that could happen simultaneously. And I'm still trying to unpack that a little bit, on how those two things, intense grief and joy, could come alongside each other at the exact same time. And I think it has something to do with a kind of love that doesn't equate itself to good and bad or self and other.
Or even the body, right? It's a love. The love, nothing happened to that love. It's still happening.
Yeah.
Right? So there isn't, although there's the sadness of a physical ending, there isn't a loss of that connection. And I think to me, because I know that state, I've experienced it too with some young people who have died in my life, and I felt the same. And no one seemed to understand how that could be. But there was such a celebration of their spirit at the same time that there was loss of that physical contact. It's like you miss people. But I completely get it. And yet I think it's that that knowing that love, that's all there is. As cliche as it sounds, that really is all there is. And it can't be destroyed. It doesn't go anywhere. That allows you to enter that place. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Do you think, either of you, that you're actually cultivating joy, or do you think, here's the option, that it is our essence and we're just waking up to something, like we're actually not creating it at all? It's our actual core essence, like love. Jen?
I'd say absolutely, yeah. And again, you know, I mentioned in my experience the conditioning that I went through as a young girl and as an athlete. And I think now as an adult in my 40s, I'm reversing some of that conditioning to go back to where I was before. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. And the first step in that is the awareness and recognizing that, you know, the negative thought patterns and noticing that, oh, that's conditioning. Oh, I have this thought because so-and-so used to say this to me on a regular basis, and I believed it, but it's not true. And I absolutely do believe that our true essence is love. It is joy, but we're conditioned by our experiences as we grow. And whether we have a positive or negative experience, it's through our experience. Mm-hmm. And we are going to write stories about what that experience is and what it means to us. And I think as our journey progresses, it's about unpacking that journey and unpacking the stories we've written and understanding why we've written that story and to maybe rewrite it. Mm-hmm. And then we will return back to our state of joy.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to come back. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about your upcoming retreat where, you know, this has certainly given our listeners a flavor of the kinds of things that will be touched on through the practice of meditation and yoga, but maybe we can get into even more specifics. Good?
Yeah.
Great.
Here's some Bobby McFerrin on Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you're worried, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Now there is this song I wrote. I hope you learned it note for note like good little children. Don't worry,
be happy. Listen to what I say. In your life expect some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Be happy now. Don't worry, happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't
Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is.
The 41st Annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival is right around the corner. It's happening, as it does every year, at Jericho Beach Park. Actually, it's not really around the corner. You have until July 13th. But if you want to get early bird tickets for a great price, you better do that before May 11th, because that means you only pay $155 for a weekend pass. Did you know Rye Cooter is coming this year? I love Rye Cooter. If you wait till after May 11th, you're going to be paying $170 for advance tickets for the weekend. And if you wait until you get to the gate and pay last minute on July 13th, 2018, you'll still get a great weekend, but you'll be paying $185, people. Okay, so if you're a hardworking mom like me, you want to get the early bird tickets before May 11th. Uh-huh, own it. Who's your mama? The Vancouver Folk Music Festival early bird ticket deadline is May 11th. Info and tickets at thefestival.bc.ca.
We're back with Melissa Berry Appleton, Jen Newman. We're talking about cultivating joy. And they've got a workshop coming up in Greece, right? Where in Greece? Tell us about the environment, first of all. Really tantalize everybody, because we all want to be on holiday.
It's on a place, on an island called Ithaca in Greece, at a beautiful retreat center called Itha 108 that Melissa found. And it has many people want to come there, amazing reviews. I think what's beautiful about it is what they've done well is create an experience for wellness. You're in the fresh air, you're in the sea air, you're on the ocean, beautiful vistas. The food is amazing, organic and clean. The beds, even the mattresses, are made with these special cocoa mattresses, so they're healthy for you. You're going to have a great sleep, which, you know, we talk about how important rest is in sleep. Close to many beaches within walking distance, so we'll be hiking, we'll be on the beach, lots of outdoor living, so yoga will be also outside as well as inside, and the weather is fantastic. It's a beautiful time to be in Greece and to experience the culture of Greece and the food of Greece and to be there in community. It's going to be spectacular.
So it's September 15th to the 22nd, this coming September, and the visual that I've got is turquoise waters and then those white bleached walls of Greece. Is that, if I got the right visual? Yeah, so stunningly beautiful. Is it for men and women?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have how many people?
It can take up to 18 people. And honestly, like, my magic number is 16 people for retreat. That is the sweet spot.
What is it about retreats that are important for people to know, to take?
I think it's really precious for people to have an opportunity to step out of daily life and have a concentrated period of time where they get to work with a little bit of practices, have some free time, maybe work with some personal questions to kind of uncover what's really in their heart. Life is really short. It moves really quickly, and these pauses in time can really help use time wisely.
Who do you think this is for? Who's your kind of ideal person? Is there anything you could actually kind of list? Who are you inviting to the table?
I think if there's people out there who are thinking, I'm not a yogi or a meditator, but I need retreat, this retreat is for them. It's so good for moms to take a break to go on retreat. It's good for dads to take a break. If you're an executive and you need to shut off your technology for a week and totally de-stress, this is for you. If you've never tried meditation, if you have been meditating all your life, it's good for people to be in a room together practicing with beginner's mind all together.
So there's no level, there's no hierarchy. You're saying this is a mix of anyone whose desire is to relax, rejuvenate, perhaps learn something.
Or curious.
Or just curious about it all in a gorgeous environment.
And I think the one thing that comes up for me is for that person who is maybe wondering, what's the difference between vacation and retreat? Mm-hmm. And I think when we live in a really busy life and we're in the rat race and our day-to-day is like Groundhog Day and we're busy, 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 and then we go away on a regular vacation and we completely unplug, what I've learned is there's a difference between a passive recovery and an active recovery. And a passive recovery would be what we would tend to do when we go on vacation is just show up at a beautiful place and do nothing. You just want to lie there and completely veg out, completely check out. But what happens with that is then you return back to home and it's really hard to get going again. Mm-hmm. And then that brings back the exhaustion and the anxiety. So what we're offering on retreat is more of an active recovery. So you can come and you're still doing things that are good for yourself, and we're going to be introducing practices that you can take home with you. So even when you leave retreat, you're going to feel like you've got more tools in your toolbox to deal with your everyday. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by active recovery is that you're not completely checking out, you're actually allowing yourself to unplug, kind of like
check in
exactly. Yeah. Almost like we need to sometimes unplug our computer and plug it back in again to reboot it. That's what retreat can be. And so it's a recharge, mm-hmm. In an active way and in a healthy way, and also gives you those take-home tools that you can continue to do when you leave retreat.
And do you have any of can you name any of those tools? Maybe one. What's one of your favorite things that you advocate for people to bring home and keep up with?
A meditation practice, of course. Yeah. But also the simple things like even going on, like we're going to be hiking and taking you down to the beach and just learning how to, you know, even hiking, not to check out while you hike, but to be mm-hmm. aware and mm-hmm. to be, you know, noticing your surroundings. But even the food, like we talk about going to a new culture, you may eat at a meal on retreat that you absolutely love, that maybe when you go home, you want to recreate. Mm-hmm. So then when you have that meal at home, it'll bring back all the memories of being on retreat and it'll bring all that joy back with you. So lots of things, the relationships that they'll develop when they come on retreat, most likely we see people maintain new friendships and relationships. I don't know. Melissa, do you want to add anything to that?
Will there be an educational component?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit. We'll share our understanding of the Brahma Viharas.
Tell our listeners what that is.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, you go.
I'm not going to say too much. I'll say we're going to talk about specifically cultivating joy from a Buddhist perspective, but also interweave modern interpretations of joy at the same time. And one of my favorite practices to teach while on retreat is we have a little bit of a period of silence in the morning when we get up. So nobody talks. We all arrive in the practice center together. We sit for a little bit, and then the bell rings and a question is posed. And everyone has a piece of paper and a pen, and they're free to get up off of their cushion or chair and walk out into the landscape, into nature, and take that question with them, move wherever they're called to move, and write whatever comes to mind and out onto the paper. Mm. And then after a period of time, the bell will ring again, and everyone will come back into the practice space and sit down, and we'll finish together.
Beautiful. Could you actually go through a day? Give our listeners a sample of what waking up, when.
Yeah,
let's keep going. That's beautiful. That gave me so much sensual information about how it would feel. So keep going.
Okay, so when we come back, the bell rings, we're finished our morning silent practice, we have breakfast together, and then everyone has a little bit of free time in the morning before we gather for a yoga practice. And in the morning practice, it's a bit more of an energetic practice. But that still means that it's accessible for all levels. And everyone has tons of options on how they want to move. And after we have the morning practice, there'll be a little bit of a story time and study time where Jen and I will unpack some teachings. And then we have lunch together, and each person can take those teachings into their afternoon. And afternoon every day is free time, so that you do get to enter that kind of vacation time, mm-hmm. because people have traveled a long way to a brand new place, probably. Mm-hmm. So that might include something like going to the beach for the afternoon. You could get on a little boat and head over to some of the tiny little islands and explore some villages, meet some new people. Then we'll come back for dinner. And then after dinner, and dinner is out on this big, huge terrace under the night sky as the sun sets over the ocean.
Mm. Served by beautiful Greek men, I don't know.
Totally.
I hope so.
Yeah, and then everything...
And Mark. You're going.
And things start to slow down from there. So everything is always optional as well. But things slow down in the evening time. We gather one more time as the sun has set, and we're going to do practices really close to the ground. So slow movement, stretching out the body, feeling the ground, the process of gravity, and really teaching people how to ground themselves at the end of the day to down-regulate the nervous system to prepare for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you're talking about, the difference between vacation and a retreat. And I know from my experience what it was like the first time I ever went somewhere tropical, and it was a vacation. And it took me a while to really kind of get into the now and the moment, because I was so busy still being busy. I was really able to identify with that executive mind you had talked about. So is there something our listeners can do at home, or... you know, just to be more mindful in terms of a mindfulness practice, so that they can kind of feel that when there's always, you know, in our busy everyday life, not everybody can get away to a retreat all the time. And that's why I think it's valuable to go, to unplug and do all the things you talked about. But how does one kind of master that or take advantage of that when they're at home and busy every day?
Right. So I have one favorite practice that I teach to people who don't practice yoga and they don't meditate. It's good whether you have a family or you're single. I notice that as the day progresses for me, my nervous system tends to upregulate. And when I get home, it's really hard for me to settle. So I teach people to stop, drop, and get down on the ground. Mm. And this happens in my home where my kids will come in and mom is lying like a starfish on the living room floor. And they'll ask me to do things. And I'm like, no, mom, stop, drop, and get down right now. I need 10 more minutes here. This is where I am. And you'll have to get it on your own. And there's just something about getting on the ground and feeling the back of the body on the ground. Mm-hmm. And even feeling the breath in the back of the body. And you don't have to be a master at anything to do that. And actually, you don't even have to be at your home to do that. You can stop, drop, and get down in a park. Jen said she might have to stop, drop, and get down in a coffee shop earlier today. You know, we can get
That's
down
cool.
on the ground. It's
like it.
Close to the earth. Get yeah. right down.
So tell our listeners where they can find out more. Both of you, I'd like you to share your websites and also information about the retreat. Now, we are posting all of this on consciouslivingradio.org, so you can definitely find it there, but also invite our listeners to your websites and...
Yeah, great. We'll give a direct link if anyone wants to learn more about the retreat itself. And you can find me on Facebook, at Facebook Newman Jen, pretty simple. And I have a website that will be up soon under jennewman.love. So you
nice.
Can watch for that soon.
You can find the retreat at my website at melissaberryappleton.com. And you can also find the links through a non-for-profit organization that I work with called ENSO Society, ENSOsociety.com.
And so for those who are interested, you're inviting them to register as soon as possible?
Yes. Yeah. It's really great to register early because then you have the time to also look at flights and better flight options, mm-hmm. which really mm-hmm. helps.
So we're kind of winding down. Do you have any other questions, Mark, before I introduce this next little segment?
No other questions, but I just did want to confer that with you that it's already up on consciouslivingradio.org right now. I'll get your website posted when it goes live, which is great, but the information for the retreat is there, for your website is there as well. So it's all there.
You are so efficient, Mark.
Well, thanks, I do my
Mark.
Best.
So I was prowling around, as I'm known to do before these interviews, just to get a sense of people. I look at their websites. And on your website, I found this beautiful poem, The Quiet Power, Melissa. I wonder if you'd read it and share that with our listeners. And then there's another piece. I think we'll have time, Jen, if you want to share.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
And actually, let me invite them. Let me set it up for you. Now, if you're driving a car, don't listen to me. Don't do this. Keep driving. Keep your eyes open. But if you're at home, you could try Melissa's suggestion.
Stop,
drop, get down. So get on your back. Start breathing. That's all you have to do. Well, you're breathing already. But just slow your breath down and let the words wash over you. Feel them. Let yourself open to the experience.
So this is The Quiet Power by Tara Sophia Moore. I walked backwards against time, and that's where I caught the moon singing at me. I stepped downwards into my seat, and that's where I caught freedom waiting for me like a lilac. I ended thought and I ended story. I stopped designing and arguing and sculpting a happy life. I didn't die and I didn't turn to dust. Instead, I chopped vegetables and made a calm lake in me where the water was clear and sourced and still. And when the ones I loved came to it, I had something to give them. And it offered them a soft road out of pain. I became beloved. And I came to know that this was it, the quiet power. I could give something mighty and lasting that stopped the wheel of chaos by tending to the river inside, keeping the water rich and deep, keeping a bench for you to visit.
Big exhale.
Wow.
And Jen, leave us with another poem.
So this is by psychotherapist Jennifer Wellwood. Willing to experience aloneness, I discover connection everywhere. Turning to face my fear, I meet the warrior who lives within me. Opening to my loss and pain and ignorance, I remember who I am and what I'm here for. Surrendering into emptiness, I find fullness without end. Each condition I flee from pursues me. Each condition I welcome transforms me and becomes itself transformed into the blessing it always was.
And another big breath. That was awesome. Thank you, guys. So Cultivating Joy, September 15th to the 22nd. You guys get on the website, check it out, look at the visuals. And if you can possibly go, give yourself that gift, and you will enjoy the presence of these two beautiful, beautiful women. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having us.
We've been speaking with Melissa Berry Appleton and Jen Newman on Conscious Living Radio. Good night.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciouslivingradio.org.
Because I'm happy.